Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, and welcome to another week of Let's Talk About Tests Baby. Before I get started, a couple of things. First of all, I've got a bit of a cold, so if my throat or voice is a bit weird, I apologise. Secondly, in the interest of full disclosure, my company has since paid for my ticket to Test Bash, so thank you for CTI Digital for that. The money donated still covers an extra night at the hotel, so I can stay Thursday night and Friday night, and so I can be there for the whole of Test Bash, because it's 4 hours travel from Manchester down to Brighton. So I've still got a donation button on my site, but I've removed any reference to Test Bash, because I'm getting there anyway, and my ticket has been paid for. Thank you to everyone who donated. I said it's gone towards my hotel fees, so that's great, and I will see you all there. I said I'll be down on the Thursday afternoon, I believe in Saturday morning, so I can be there for the entirety of Test Bash, and if there's any pre-meetups happening on the Thursday night, I can go to them as well. Very excited about that. And that's all my announcements for this week, so let's move on to the main subject. This week I want to talk about clients, because as we often say, this job would be great if it wasn't for the clients, right? So as I've moved back into testing full time, I've got on a couple of build projects straight away, and I've realised that I actually quite enjoy like requirements gathering and discovery and scoping out a project. It's one of the first challenges when a client comes to us is we've been given this like brief, and we know the budget we've got, and it's finding out, like getting the brief scoped out, getting all the details down, and seeing what is a must-have and what's a nice-to-have or a not-for-go-live, but sometime in the future there's something you want to do and they'll just want to get the ideas down there. And I do find it really interesting. I do like digging down into those needs and figuring out all the bits and pieces that a client wants. It involves getting to know the client, the business, the stakeholders, and their day-to-day needs as well as the plans for the future. It's quite a big task when it comes to first onboarding a client. We have the technical background and ideas that we can bring to the table, but we first need to get the background to ensure our suggestions are relevant and useful. And also we need to build a relationship, because the projects generally tend to be quite long, you know, a good couple of months at least. So you really have to build a relationship as you go through the project, but right from the start there has to be that strong sort of relationship built. And that's how you hand over a good project, by getting to know the client well, so you can serve their needs as best as possible. So the basic handover is fairly easy. You can get all that from the brief. You can get who you need to talk to, what sort of thing they're looking for. So the basics you kind of already got. And then from there we get a handover from whoever did the brief to say, this is who I've spoken to, and this is kind of what their deal is. This is who the stakeholders are, because sometimes you're interacting with the point of contact you've got is one stakeholder, but they've got stakeholders themselves, and so there's all this sort of politics going on that sometimes you have to be aware of, and sometimes it's nice to know that before meeting the client, so you don't end up putting your foot in your mouth inadvertently. Then the production team set up a meeting and workshops. Workshops tend to be whole or almost whole day affairs, which goes towards building this relationship. Because as well as us finding out about them, they also find out the nitty-gritty bits of our processes and how it works, what we expect from the client, what sort of engagement level we expect when it comes to, you know, signing things off, testing, approving things, as well as what they will get from us and what we expect to hand over to them. And so the hardest bit when it comes to getting to know a business or a project from a client is the details that sometimes the client or the product owner feels are unnecessary to tell because they're obvious to them. And while more often not, the most obvious things are in fact obvious, sometimes because we don't have that business knowledge straight up sometimes, what is actually obvious to the product owner or the client isn't actually obvious to us, and so we need to really get all that out on the table to stop things getting hairy further on down the line. So we do the basic intro in the first workshop, or any of the big questions we try to get an idea of. Even if we can't solve anything on that day, we expect to feel a little more settled because we've had interactions with the client, we've got FaceTime. Hopefully the big questions that we've had, that we've got from the brief and from the information we've been given, have been clarified one way or another. And we have a decent idea of who the client is and the product owner, what they're about, what their priorities are. And they've got a bit of an idea of how we work. Like, we'll show them, because we use the Atlassian suite, so we'll show them Jira. And we'll have a bit of a hands-on about what, like, acceptance criteria, the process of sprints, things like that. So it's not... We try to do high level and then get further and further down as we get closer to kicking off the first sprint. But we give them basically a low overview of how the project would go, you know, in a perfect world, with no hiccups or things taking longer or whatever. And that can be quite a heavy workshop. So after that point, we wrap up and we go away and we'll start doing the basic plannings. We'll design a homepage, a wireframe, some of the internal pages. We'll start getting the basic bits of functionality into the backlog, content types, if it's an e-commerce site, the e-commerce bits, things like that. The stuff that we're broad enough and basic enough that we can start planning, and then we know we can refine down. And then there's another workshop, assuming it's a project that's complex enough to need a second workshop. If we can get everything in workshop one, if it's not like a huge rebuild or whatever, we will do it in just one. But I'm working off the assumption this is a big build project. So the second workshop has the designs, some wireframes, and some basic functionality kind of started to get spec'd out. Obviously, we talked to the client and other product owners in between these two workshops, but the two workshops are where we get the majority of the stuff done. So workshop two, we show them the designs and the wireframes and our vision for what sprint one would look like, what we started to plan out. Pretty much, we expect the designs and especially the wireframes to change after this workshop, but it's done because sometimes illustrating it in that way makes it a lot easier for the client to see what's going on and to see, actually, no, that's not right, or yeah, that's exactly what I want. Sometimes it needs to be right in front of them in image form, and it helps us as well. It helps us kind of start bringing together what we need to do. And so even though it changes, it's still worth putting the time in because it literally illustrates where our gaps are. And we can say, right, we've assumed this, but actually, would you want this block here? Or would you want it to appear somewhere else? Or would you want it in both? And we can start doing things like that. And from the wireframes, we can start getting the information more and more granular. Because after the second workshop, we expect to start being able to produce acceptance criteria and get everything locked down so we can kick off shortly after and get the first sprint started. After workshop two, we fully expect to be able to write AC, as I said, and get that signed off. We expect to be able to make any final design changes to the homepage, which usually is full design, or any other pages we've got full design for, and transform any wireframes that need transforming from wireframes to full designs, and get them signed off. We also have the start of that relationship with the client. We've had a fair bit of FaceTime, which sometimes I think is what you need. You need to be in the same room as someone to really bolt that down. The client knows what we're about, knows our process, knows what to expect from us. And that relationship has started to build. And it's a lot up front, but it gets good results. It means we do have a good relationship with our clients, and the whole team has input into a project so it's possible. Because it'd be the project manager, me most of the time, the lead developer, the designer, maybe even a front-ender or back-ender, as well as the lead developer, if we feel that'll be helpful. So everyone gets buy-in as early as possible, both from our side and from the client side. And it acts as a really good brainstorming session and a good question-answer session, and I really enjoy them. I enjoy sitting there going, okay, so this is what the client does. How can we deliver that? And it's when I start forming test plans, because the developers or the designers say, right, well, this is what we've come together, this is the functionality we've got, and I can start thinking about how that meets their needs and how I would test that and what sort of issues I see when I would test it. It's like, what makes me go, oh, this is going to be awkward to test because of these reasons or things like that. So I can start And sometimes I'll put these questions forward to go, okay, well, what happens in this situation, or how would this work with this piece of functionality? And it's great for me to have that context, because I, as I've said before, I don't feel I can test well unless I have that context. And it gives us an idea of the client's priorities, which is very useful to have when we're prioritising from our end. Because yes, although we'll be running everything past the client and getting the client to feed into that prioritisation, we'll still be offering it as a, well, how about if we tackle this in sprint one and this in sprint two and then this and so on. And so we need to have an idea of their priorities and the priorities of their stakeholders so we can plan them most efficiently for them. And so it's a lot of effort up front before we even start a sprint, but I think it is really worth it. It gets good results. Everyone's got a face to a name, which makes it a lot easier to work with people, I think. And it makes us all feel like a team, both from an internal point of view and the client as well. It impresses on them that their input is required and we want to work together, as opposed to each of us telling each other something or the client coming to us and it being sort of adverse, or they're saying, well, we want this, and we go, well, no, we can't do that. Whereas if we can build that relationship up, they're more likely to take our advice and we'll say, well, actually, I know you want this, but have you considered this instead? Or if you do want that, you need to give up this instead because you've got a fixed budget. And it just does seem to make things a lot easier. So I really enjoy it. And I do think it's how we get the most out of a client. And I think that is a good place, Denny, to wrap up before my voice completely gives up the ghost on me. Join me again next week for more rambling, hopefully with a better voice. And as always, all contact details and show notes will be on letstalkabouttests.xyz. And I'll see you all next week. Bye.